الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the Day of Judgment. Surah Al-Baqarah verse 142 in the tafsir of Shaykh Sa'di rahmatullahi alayhi. يقول تعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يقول تعالى وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول ممن ينقلب على عقبيه وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله وما كان الله ليضيع إيمانكم إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم. Verse 142 please.
Verse 143.
143 is it?
Yeah,
it is 143, huh? Forgive me, the font.
You read 143.
That's the one that I want. The font is so small that it looked like 42. Forgive me. What it looks like, actually it's a print error. Look. They have it here 3-2. It's from the book. 143 is what I want. Which is, and we did not make the qibla. Is that what how it begins? That's the one I want.
Thus we have made you true Muslims, we have believers of Islamic Buddhism, the true followers of Prophet Muhammad, is the above name.
No, not this one.
This one 43.
That's 43?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Do you read the whole Waqtu Rawaqa prayer direction towards Jerusalem, which you used to face only to test those who follow the messenger, from those who would turn on their heels, disobey the messenger? Indeed, it was great, heavy except for those whom Allah guided. And Allah will never make your faith prayers to be lost, your prayers offered towards Jerusalem. Truly, Allah is full of kindness, most merciful towards mankind.
بارك الله فيك. That's what we wanted. يقول تعالى وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها وهي استقبال بيت المقدس أولا. And we did not make the Qibla which you were facing earlier, which is facing towards, we said, Bayt al-Maqdis in Jerusalem. إلا لنعلم أي علما يتعلق به الثواب والعقاب, except to know. But what is really intended here, not that Allah does not know and then He will come to know afterwards. This is very fundamental, because we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Omniscient. Meaning Allah has knowledge of everything. So when you see a verse that says that Allah did something in order for Him to know, it does not mean that this was something that was unknown to Allah and the knowledge was acquired upon the occurrence of the incident. That's not what is intended. Rather, what is intended is that Allah's knowledge was aware of all of these events. But now that they have manifested in real life, reward or punishment become proportional to these particular acts. Because if we were just to depend on Allah's knowledge, right, then maybe some people will complain on the Day of Judgment that I did, how do you know that I was going to do that? Now Allah knows what the people are going to choose, right? So in case someone say, how do you know that I was going to do that? I know I was never given a chance. So Allah allows them to go through these events in order to do these particular actions. So the knowledge here is in reference to the accountability of the action. Is that clear? Because if you believe that Allah lacks knowledge, then you must reconsider your understanding of the one you're worshipping. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ in the Quran. Allah is knowing of everything. Allah knows even the leaf that falls, as it comes in the Quran, even the leaf that falls in the very dark areas that no one can see, Allah has knowledge of this leaf, at what speed it's falling down, the density, the weight, the level of the wind, every single thing Allah knows about. This chair, all the fabric, how much fabric is in there, what material is in there, how many threads are in there, Allah knows all that. So we know for a fact that when these verses come about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing something, this as understood by the scholars and the companions, this is in reference to what will become a consequence of the actions. Not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know. That's what the Shaykh said, عِلْمًا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ ثَوَابِ الْعِقَابِ, knowledge which is conditional or relevant to reward or punishment. So Allah on the Day of Judgment will tell him that I knew of what you have done because it happened. If it never happened, then the person will say, how is that? But once it took place, Allah will say that he knows about it, thus he will either be rewarded or punished accordingly. Is that clear? طيب. وَأَلَّا فَهُوَ تَعَالَى عَالِمٌ بِكُلِّ الْأُمُورِ قَبْلَ وُجُودِهَا. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about every single thing prior to it existing or taking place. وَلَكِنْ هَذَا الْعِلْمُ لَا يُعَلَّقُ عَلَيْهِ ثَوَابًا وَلَا عِقَابًا. But the knowledge of Allah, see, the knowledge of Allah that is prior to the event taking place, there is no reward or punishment relevant to it. يعني brothers, let me give you an example. Somebody tells you, okay, let's say you were known to be a thief in your old days. I'm not saying any one of you. Some person, he was known for being a thief. Let me take that back, huh? It's known that whenever this person is put in a predicament where he may steal something, he steals it. And it's just known. طيب. Now, some of his friends, he's still a thief during that time. He's still a teenager in his stealing days. Some of his friends set him up. They put a setup for him in such a way where he will be in a predicament where he will steal. طيب. Now, and they want to get him arrested. Is it sufficient to go to the police and say, look man, we know this guy is going to steal. Huh? We know him. The guy steals all the time. He even steals stuff from our house. He comes to spend the night, the next day half of the furniture is gone. Okay, we know the guy. But is that sufficient to arrest him? No. Right or wrong? They know that if once he's put in this predicament, the man will pull a stunt. He will steal. But that's knowledge, right? That you cannot apply rulings and punishment or reward until that thing manifests. But if you put him in the setup and you have video cams and you catch him in the act of stealing, then your knowledge now is of benefit. You knew he was going to steal, but now that he lived it, now that he did it, you can easily tell the police and you can get him arrested. Is that clear? Similarly, and to Allah belongs the highest example, Allah's knowledge about what we will do is there. But then, there's no reward or punishment because it didn't manifest yet. Otherwise, some people come on the Day of Judgment and say, well, hey, why? Why? I never did that. Allah could easily tell them, I knew you would do that, right or wrong? But because this may entail some injustice, because to the people they may believe, this is not fair. What if I didn't? Allah allows him to do these things, so then when the Day of Judgment comes, no one will say, oh, you know, some things of this nature. So Allah's knowledge was there, not that Allah didn't know, but that knowledge cannot become a means of judging until the person actually lives out that particular action. Is that clear? Alhamdulillah. Right. لتمام عدله وإقامة الحجة على العباد, because of the ultimate justice of Allah, in order to establish the evidence and the proof against this creation. بل إذا وجدت أعمالهم ترتب عليها الثواب والعقاب, because once the actions exist, then you could say this person will be punished or will be rewarded. But the punishment, the action must exist first, not just the knowledge of Allah of it existing. It must come into existence itself. طيب ممتاز. أي شرعنا تلك القبلة لنعلم ونمتحن من يتبع الرسول ويؤمن به فيتبعه على كل حال. So we made this, we legislated this turning from in direction of prayer from Bayt al-Maqdis to al-Ka'ba al-Mukarrama. We did this in order to know and to test who will truly follow the messenger and will believe in him. But in all cases, regardless of the circumstances, they will truly follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all affairs. لأنه عبد مأمور مدبر. Why? Because that individual is nothing but a servant who is commanded, and his affairs are disposed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he has no control, no power. He just goes with the flow. ولأنه قد أخبرت الكتب المتقدمة أنه يستقبل الكعبة. Furthermore, the previous scriptures had indicated and prophesied that the Prophet ﷺ at one point would turn into in the direction of prayer towards the Kaaba. مما يزيده ذلك إيمانا وطاعة عفوا. فالمنصف الذي مقصوده الحق مما يزيد ذلك إيمانا وطاعة للرسول. So then the person who's fair, who's just, who's on a straight path, who really is seeking the truth, this will increase him in faith and obedience. The fact that Allah legislated that now the Muslims will turn from Bayt al-Maqdis to Kaaba, and because of his iman and the following that he has with the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that legislation, that revelation that came down will increase him in iman and obedience. This is one group of people. These are verses, the others. وَأَمَّا مَنْ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى عَقِبَيْهِ وَأَعْرَضَ عَنَ الْحَقِّ وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهِ فَإِنَّهُ يَزْدَادُ كُفْرًا إِلَى كُفْرِهِ وَحِيرَةً إِلَى حِيرَتِهِ وَيَدْلِي بِالْحُجَّةِ الْبَاطِلَةِ وَعَيْكُمْ السَّلَامِ الْمَبْنِيَ عَلَى شُبَةٍ لَا حَقِيقَةَ لَهَا. As for he who turns over his heels and he turns away from the truth and he follows his desires, then he will be increased in disbelief over his original disbelief. Yani he's already had doubts and problems. Once this revelation was sent, he will become more of a kafir. Now he has more kufr in his heart and more confusion over his original confusion. And he will give some lousy, some false evidences that are based on nothing but conjectures and doubts that have no true basis to them. These are the other group of people who were what? The kuffar. The kuffar, the disbelievers of the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they complained that the Muslims are now changing their facing the Qibla of Bayt al-Maqdis and moving towards Kaaba. They complained. They said, why is that? And what made them do that? So they already were kuffar, and then these events, what do? They increase in kufr and in confusion, and they become more astray. Whereas the believer, he is more guided because he is obedient and he follows whatever has been revealed. He does not inject his own opinion into things, particularly when he is feeble-minded and he is not even intelligent enough to have any opinion about these things. We will see the wisdom behind that. This is the first wisdom for Allah to know. Because we said, life is a test or not? Life is a test. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life to test you is better indeed. That's it. Your whole life and the death that will come after is simply so you will be tested who is better indeed. وَنَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. Allah says, and we will test you with evil and good as a fitna, as a trial. If you make money, it's a test for you. If you don't have money, it's a test for you. You see? If you get married, it's a test for you. If you're single, it's a test for you. Everything is a test. Every single thing is a test. So because of this reality, when Allah reveals something, it's a test for the people. Between those who will obediently follow, willingly, devoutly, and those who will turn back on their heels and complain and criticize and what have you. So that particular test, what is the benefit of the test? When you go to school and they have the final exam, what's the benefit?
Good grades.
But really, what are the good grades about? Either passing or failing. That's what it is. At the end of the day, you will either pass or you will repeat the class or you will be kicked out of school or whatever the case may be. But the objective of the testing is so you will be either successful or you will fail. So this is the objective of a test. So the Muslims turning in the Qibla and the Dhulu Qibla towards the Kaaba is the test. So some will pass by obeying and some will fail by disobeying. So this is the first wisdom. If that was the only wisdom, that's enough. If that was the only reason why the Muslims were commanded to change the direction from Bayt al-Maqdis to Kaaba, that is enough of a reason. Because it's a manifestation of the objective of life. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that He will do to us in this life. So then this is enough. to test who's good and who's not, who's real and who's fake. But there's more to that. وإن كانت أي صرفك عنها لكبيرة أي شاقة إلا على الذين هدى الله فعرفوا بذلك نعمة الله عليهم. Although commanding you to turn away from the Kaaba, from the Bayt al-Maqdis, لكبيرة, it was difficult and a burden, a heavy burden, except on those whom Allah has guided. And they are those who knew the bounty of Allah. وَشَكَرُوا وَأَقَرُوا لَهُ بِالْإِحْسَانِ حَيْثُ وَجَّاهُمْ إِلَىٰ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الْعَظِيمِ. So they acknowledge and they thank Allah for this goodness that He has bestowed upon them, where He told them to turn their faces toward this great house, the house that was built by Ibrahim and Ismail عليهم الصلاة والسلام. The first house that was established for worship on earth was Al-Kaaba, before Bayt al-Maqdis. Although many of the prophets were in Jerusalem, many of them were in Bilad al-Sham, what is known today as Syria, Palestine, Lebanon, and that area, Jordan at times is included. The Bayt al-Maqdis was the home for many of the prophets of Allah. But the first place, masjid, the first masjid established for worship of Allah was Al-Kaaba in Mecca. So then the believers being asked to turn towards the Kaaba is normal, and it is in harmony with the teachings of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know that the only true followers of Abraham are the Muslims. Although the Jews and the Christians both make this claim that they are upon the Abraham religion or the Abrahamic way, in essence they are far from it. Not only that, even the Quraishis who had around 360 idols around and in the Kaaba, they used to consider themselves upon the millah of Ibrahim. They used to consider themselves a followers of Ibrahim. Although Ibrahim, what was his issue with his father and his people? Idol worshipping. So they were worshipping idols around the Kaaba, and Ibrahim's main goal was to establish the Kaaba for the worship of Allah and destroying the idols, yet the Quraishis of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, his tribe, they said that we're following Ibrahim. Although they're worshipping idols. So everybody claims to be a follower of Ibrahim. That's the claim. But when you come to look at the teachings that they currently abide by, they are as foreign as you can be to Ibrahim. Ibrahim was about Hanif. He was a Hanifa. He was on the straight way. He was on the straight way. وَلَمْ يَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. He was not among the polytheists. And now all those who claim to be following him are mushrikeen in one way or another. So then in essence, this is only normal. الَّذِي فَضَّلَهُ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأَرْضِ. Allah has favored this particular land over the rest of the land, the place of Kaaba. وَجَعَلَ قَصْبَهُ رُقْنًا مِنْ أَرْكَانِ الْإِسْلَامِ. And Allah made aiming or going there a pillar from the pillars of Islam. Right? Islam was built on five pillars. And the last one is حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ لِمَنْ اسْتَطَاعَ عَلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Going to Hajj for those who are able to do so. So this is from the five pillars of Islam. Going to Hajj. Allah gave it this particular virtue. وَهَادِمًا لِلذُّنُوبِ وَالْأَثَامِ. Furthermore, it is means of getting your sins and your disobedience and your guilt erased and wiped out. Because we said, the Prophet ﷺ, first if you do Umrah, the Umrah to the Umrah, the Prophet ﷺ said, the Umrah to the Umrah forgives whatever sins are between them. Umrah to Umrah will get you sins that are in between forgiven. So if you go to Umrah in January, and you go to Umrah in March, then the sins that you have committed, the minor sins that you have committed between January and March, if both the Umrahs were accepted, will be forgiven by the will of Allah. And going to Hajj, if your Hajj is accepted, then what will happen to you? You'll go back like the day your mother gave birth to you. Free from sin. Not original sin. Free from sin. So then going to the Kaaba and fulfilling the acts of worship there with the right intention and the fulfillment of the act of worship in and within itself are means for your sins to be forgiven. Right? So these are among the virtues of the Kaaba. فَلِهَذَا خَفَّ عَلَيْهِمْ ذَلِكَ وَشَقَّ عَلَى مَنْ سِوَاهُمْ. This is why it was easy for the truly, those who Allah guided, it was easy for them. Oh, okay, so I just have to turn from here to there, no problem. And it was difficult for the others. It was difficult upon those who iman was in sound, or for the disbelievers altogether. ثُمَّ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ أي ما ينبغي له ولا يليق به تعالى بل هو من الممتنعات عليه فأخبر أنه ممتنع عليه ومستحيل أن يضيع إيمانكم. وفي هذا بشارة عظيمة لمن من الله عليهم بالإسلام والإيمان بأن الله سيحفظ عليهم إيمانهم فلا يضيعه وحفظه نوعان. للشيخ الإلابوي And Allah was never to waste your iman. Now, it's interesting, the word iman being used here. I don't know whether the Shaykh will elaborate or not, or shall I do it? وَدَخَلَ فِي ذَلِكَ مُنْ اللَّهِ دَوِلُكُ Now, he does briefly. Then Allah says, and the scholars use this ayah as an evidence for the belief system of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And what is the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is the main group, the main body of Muslims, those who did not deviate from the path, like the Shia, and the Qadariya, and the Jabariya, and the Asha'ira, and the Mu'tazila, and the Khawarij. We have many groups. Many groups who have deviated from mainstream orthodox Islamic teachings, which is the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, his companions, and all those who came after them. This coming Monday at IMC, there will be a lecture, inshallah, just about that. If you're interested in coming, 9 p.m., International Medical Center, lecture about the righteous predecessors.
Monday.
We can talk about the details after the death, inshallah. Anywho, we have deviant people, man. People deviated. People went astray in their understanding of the deen, especially when the Muslims spread around the world and many people started embracing Islam either for worldly interests or for worldly gains. Some of them, they had this mentality of Paul, if you cannot beat them, join them. So they said, we come into Islam and destroy Islam from within. They added their philosophical understanding of things, their pagan beliefs, their idolatry into Islam, and they tried to destroy Islam from within. Yet Allah promised us that this will never be the case. It happened with Christianity, it happened with Judaism, so much so that there's no longer any foundation, any real foundation. Everything is deviance now. Everything is misguided. Everybody has agreed to be deviant from the teachings of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They may differ in other aspects, but it doesn't matter. The main teachings of the religion have been demolished. In Islam, this will never be the case. You will see as many groups as you see, as many as slogans as people carry with their, whatever, follower, their sheikh, whatever, no matter how many they are, there will always be a group of Muslims upon the truth. And the Prophet ﷺ said it's an authentic narration. They will remain among my ummah, a group of people upon the truth. They will not be harmed by anyone who opposes them until the day of judgment. And these are Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Those who traveled on in the middle path regarding every aspect of our deen. Like the Khawarij and those who considered any Muslim who commits a major sin, kafir. There was a group of Muslims that first began in the early generation, way back during the time of the companions, who believed if you commit a major sin, if you commit zina, if you fornicate with a woman, you're a kafir, you're no longer a believer. Okay? To them, it's inconceivable how a believer would do that. So they will throw you outside of Islam, and so you're no longer a Muslim, you become a murtad and apostate. Then all the rulings and apostasy are applicable to you. These were opposed by another extreme group known as Al-Murji'ah. Those who say that Iman has nothing to do with deeds. Iman is whatever you believe in your heart. So you and Abu Bakr as-Siddiq are alike. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Umar, Uthman, you're just like them. They believe in Allah, His angels, the books, the Day of Judgment, the preordainment. You believe in the same thing. There's no virtue for one over the other. You one and the same. So they make the deeds not part of the Iman. These are two extremes. Where are Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? The people of Sunnah. Why are they called Ahlul Sunnah? Those who stayed with the Sunnah. Those who never went away from the Sunnah. Because the Sunnah is the explanation of the Quran. Wal Jama'ah, the group. Because they were a group. They did not divide the Ummah as these people divided the Ummah. They divided themselves, gave themselves a name, had their own understanding, and they became an offshoot or a sect of Islam. And we were commanded by Allah, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبِّ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا and hold on to the rope of Allah altogether. Now we don't want any difference or any division, but these people did that. Nonetheless, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we say, Iman is conviction of the heart, statement of the tongue, actions of the lips. That's it. The Prophet said, and we have hundreds of narrations in ayat. Prophet said, Iman is around 73 branches. The highest of them is saying La ilaha illallah. And the least of them is removing heart from the way. When he described Iman, yani if you're driving down the street and you see a big branch of a tree, and you become concerned about the other Muslims who will be driving on that road, so you pull over in your car, you go down, you get this branch, and you take it off the street in order to clear the way for the believers. The Prophet ﷺ said, this is Iman. Now, does that Iman have to do with any of the six pillars of Iman, or does it have to do with the actions? Actions, it's actions of the limbs. The Prophet ﷺ called it Iman. Allah says, the true believers are those whom while Allah's name is mentioned, their hearts tremble. And when His verses are recited upon them, it increases them in Iman. زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا in the Qur'an. It increases them in Iman. That means that Iman increases and decreases. If only believing in the six things were like Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, then there will be no increase or decrease. So you're going to believe in the Qadr one day and it decreases the next day, you don't believe in it, you're no longer a believer. So Ahl al-Sunnah al-Jama'ah then are on that middle course in terms of what we believe. Now Alhamdulillah, Allah blessed you that you became a Muslim here. For those of you who have become Muslim here, where you are initially and immediately taught the right stuff. The material that is brought to you is authentic by the will of Allah. In terms of the da'wah centers and what they provide, they don't have anything but Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This may not be the case elsewhere. This may not be the case elsewhere. You may learn Islam in an environment where they believe their everything that they are upon are not part of the mainstream Islam. And so then you will have to go through a process of cleansing yourself and learning the correct religion all over again. In your case, alhamdulillah, you don't have to worry about these deviant sects to a certain extent because you really don't see them that much. They're there, but you don't come in contact with them because they try to keep themselves hidden because they know that the country does not accommodate deviants. You know what I'm saying? So elsewhere this is not the case. These people are the ones who are screaming and yelling and out in the street and calling the people to them. They are the ones doing the da'wah. They are the ones doing the da'wah. Those who don't understand Islam properly. So inshallah you will be among those who understand Islam properly and propagate it in this particular fashion. So you'll be among those who were the true followers of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right. So what is the point of emphasis? Allah says, what is the context of this ayah? That what happened was, after this verse was revealed, طيب, many of the companions were grieved in their hearts. It's specifically about the dead. They said, the brothers that died, they had been facing Al-Bayt al-Maqdis for all these years. Right? Now that they've passed away, Allah commanded us to turn in our direction towards Qibla, towards the Kaaba. So they were thinking that all of the prayers that were performed by the brothers who passed away will be void because they were facing the wrong Qibla. When this understanding occurred, Allah revealed this verse. And Allah was never to waste your Iman. Allah would never waste the belief of a servant. The point here, as Shahid, is that Allah called Salah, the prayer that they were doing towards Bayt al-Maqdis, He called it Iman. Faith, conviction, compliance. You see what I'm saying? This is what is used as an evidence to prove that among the evidences used that your actions of the limbs, the salah that you do, is Iman. Is a form of Iman. Not only what you have in your heart, rather that is part of your Iman. Tayyib. And as the Shaykh said, meaning it is not befitting for Allah. It is not befitting. It would never be the case. Rather, this is among the things that are impossible for Allah. That He will waste anyone's faith. That He will waste or make anyone's deeds go in vain, of course, unless they have deserved it. We're talking about a person not doing anything which brings about the invalidity of their deed. Otherwise, if you do so, if you become a kafir, you know, if you say, I don't want to become a Muslim anymore, I want to go back to Christianity where Allah's refuge is sought from misguidance and is sought from misguidance and deviance. If you do so, then the deeds that you have performed in Islam will be void on the Day of Judgment as if you never prayed to Allah. Because you have went from the state of belief to the state of disbelief. Just like Satan, who was worshipping Allah among the angels. He wasn't an angel, he was a jinn. But he was worshipping Allah among the angels, right? He had some obedience at some point in his life. But when he was asked to prostrate to Adam, and he refused and he was kicked out, he became a disbeliever. And he'll be eternally in the hellfire. If the deeds were going to save him, then he would have saved him. So the deeds would not benefit anyone who decides to leave alone Islam. And really, no one, I mean, you hear some stories. You get some of the Christians say, such Muslim converted to Christianity. You know, you hear this every now and then. And I'll tell you something, man. First of all, most of these are fabrications. And I've checked them out myself on YouTube. Those so-called Muslims that they claim that they became Christians, their stories are so funny that you just, it's like a movie. But let's say there are Muslims who embrace Christianity. What are the chances? And what is the ratio in comparison to the Christians that become Muslims? Don't even ask. The Christians that become Muslims versus the Muslims that become Christian, yeah, it's almost nothing. Still, no way that someone truly believed, pay attention, truly Iman entered into his heart, the oneness of Allah entered into his heart, no way you will go back to disbelief. The only way this will happen is when this person wasn't really a Muslim to begin with. He was not really, you know what I'm saying? He walked in through the door, but he didn't sit down. He didn't feel comfortable. He did not understand what's going on. He barely walked in for whatever worldly objective or otherwise. So Iman has not settled in this person's heart. Yes, you may be, because you are not firm. But someone who really be that, right now, speak of yourself. Do you think you can ever go back to church and bow to a statue of Jesus and ask him for some stuff? No way! Do you this is the craziest thing in the world. Even if there was no statue, even was it to go to Jesus or to Mary or to anyone, the Holy Ghost to guide you, it's not something that is feasible anymore. You see what I'm saying? Iman has put you in such a condition where these things are done only by lunatics, not normal people. And your Iman does not allow you to even accept that. But if a person never was a believer, never really understood Islam, yeah, you may get one out of every 3,000 who will leave Islam to embrace Christianity. But these people must have had a disease to begin with. They were misguided to begin with. Otherwise, based on this verse, Allah will not waste a person's iman. And the Shaykh said this. He said, and this is a glad tidings and good news to everyone whom Allah has bestowed Islam and iman upon him, that Allah will protect his iman. And Allah will protect him, then he will not let it go in waste. That's a promise from Allah. That once Allah makes you Muslim a believer, inshallah, you will remain as so. Until you die. As long as you have reached a point where iman is settled in your heart. And that requires learning and understanding, right? And fulfilling the rights of Allah. When you fulfill the rights, the obligations, and you stay away from the prohibitions, your iman will increase. It will reach a certain point where it settles in the heart, and then this verse becomes applicable. Allah will never waste it again. It will never go to waste again. The problem is when you don't reach this point. So someone embraces Islam, and then they indulge in sin. The shaitan sees that they're about to, you know, the devil sees that he's losing one of his people. So he will come into him from his desires and what have you, and he will take this person right back out of Islam because of his girlfriend. You know, and his girlfriend said, oh no, if you become a Muslim, I don't want to be with you anymore. So, you know, iman hasn't settled in the heart, he will leave Islam. He will leave Islam, he will go back to his girlfriend. Because to him, she's more important than Allah and the last day and then pre-order and everything. That woman is everything to him. Had iman reached his heart, he would not even send her a text message to say it's over. He would just block her number from the phone, say, psh, yalla, khalli walli. Huh? Khalli walli. There's a million other women besides her, good, righteous Muslim woman. I don't need another woman. So brother, two people will enter into Islam. One iman will enter the heart, and one who's, you know, laying around. One will remain, Allah will protect him and he will move on, and the other one will go right back out. Why? Because when they were exposed to temptation, one of them was strong enough to fight it for the sake of Allah, and the other one allowed it to take him whatever it takes him. So once iman that reaches a certain particular level in the heart, then inshallah, for the promise of Allah, Allah will never take it away. Allah will never let it go to waste. You will be preserved in your Islam and your iman until you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is from the bounty of Allah. The Shaykh said, and Allah's preserving of one's iman is of two kinds. حفظ من الضياع والبطلان بعصمته لهم عن كل مفسد ومزين له. The first kind is Allah protecting the iman from being wasted or from becoming void by protecting them from every corruption and anything that will remove that faith away from them. ومنقص من المحن المقلقة والأهواء الصادة وحفظ له بتمنيته لهم. Then furthermore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them during the times of difficulty. Like when someone dies, you know, when you lose, you may lose your wealth, somebody, a beloved person to you dies and things of this nature. Or whenever there's desires, people's desires and come into, you know, in contact with obedience. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect this person by growing their faith, by allowing their faith to grow. وَتَوْفِيقُهُمْ وَتَوْفِيقِهِمْ لِمَا يَزْدَادُ بِهِ إِيمَانُهُمْ. And Allah will bless them and facilitate for them and give them success to do things that will increase their iman. وَيَتِمُّ بِهِ إِيقَانُهُمْ. And then they will reach the level of certainty. فَكَمَا ابْتَدَاكُمْ بِأَنْ هَدَاكُمْ لِلْإِيمَانِ فَسَيَحْفَظُهُ لَكُمْ. So the same Allah, the same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala initially guided you to iman, Allah will protect this iman for you. ويتم نعمته بتنميته وتنمية أجره وثوابه. And Allah will perfect His bounty upon you by increasing your iman and increasing the reward that you will get as a result of this iman of yours. وحفظه من كل مكدر. And Allah سبحانه وتعالى will, or مكدر الله أعلم. And Allah will protect it from anything that will affect your iman, anything that will shake your iman. بل إذا وجدت المحن التي المقصود منها تبيين المؤمن الصادق من الكاذب فإنها تمحص المؤمنين وتظهر صدقهم وكأن في هذا احترازا عما يقال إن قوله وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول مما ينقلب على عقبيه قد يكون سببا لترك بعض المؤمنين إيمانهم. طيب. Furthermore, the Shaykh said, rather Allah would protect them especially during the time of difficulty. The time of testing, where the objective of the testing is to distinguish between the true believer and the one who is lying, because it makes a distinction, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate the status of the believers during the testing, where their iman will be manifest in truth. They will be truthful in their faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Shaykh said this is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to eliminate some misunderstanding that may arise from the people who read the verse that, you know, Allah made this test only so He could make He could test those who will truly believe the Prophet ﷺ and follow him from those who will turn over their heels. As if somebody may think that Allah is doing this in order for some believers to lose their faith. Huh? Some people may think that the reason why it's done is that Allah wants to make some of the believers lose their faith. Is this the case? No, this is not the case. You see, the ayah says, and we have only made the qibla that we made you turn towards in order for Allah to test those who will follow the Prophet from those who will turn over their heels. If you read only this verse, you may think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing this in order to misguide some people. Huh? The believers may become misguided because of this test. So the very next wording, the very next ayah, even in the same ayah, and Allah automatically said, and Allah was never to waste your iman. You see? Just in case someone had a negative understanding of the first part of the verse, Allah automatically removed that by securing the people and giving them security by informing them that Allah will never waste the faith of His believers. Now, فدفع هذا الوهم بقوله وما كان الله ليضيع إيمانكم بتقديره لهذه المحنة أو غيرها. That Allah will not waste your iman by decreeing that this particular test will take place or even others. ودخل في ذلك من مات من المؤمنين قبل تحويل الكعبة. Included in that are those who among the believers who died prior to turning towards الكعبة. فإن الله لا يضيع إيمانهم. Allah will not waste their iman. لكونهم امتثلوا أمر الله وطاعة رسوله في وقتها. Because why? They obeyed Allah they fulfilled the obligations and the commandments of Allah, and they obeyed His Messenger during the time that they were around. وَضَاعَةُ اللَّهِ امْتِثَالُ أَمْرِهِ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتٍ بِحَسَبِ ذَلِكَ. And obedience to Allah is fulfilling His commandments at any time according to your ability. So it is not restricted to from after the revelation came to turn towards the Kaaba. Those who were obeying Allah and His Messenger back when the Muslims returned towards Jerusalem, then of course they were obeying Allah, and Allah will protect their deeds. Their deeds will not go to waste. وفي هذه الآية دليل لمذهب أهل السنة والجماعة أن الإيمان تدخل فيه أعمال الجوارح. And in this ayah there is an evidence for what Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in terms of the fact that the iman, included in the iman are the actions of the limbs. So then we said iman is conviction of the heart, statement of the tongue, actions of the limbs. It increases with good deeds and it decreases with bad deeds. Your faith, and we said iman is faith plus compliance. A faith which results in compliance and submissiveness to Allah. Not just believing in something, but believing in such a way where you do something about it. So iman is conviction of the heart, statement of the tongue, actions of the limbs. It increases with good deeds, and it decreases with bad deeds. You do more good deeds, and you will feel your iman increasing. You disobey Allah more, and you will feel your iman decreasing. You still believe in the six pillars of faith, but the manifestation of this belief through obedience is what where there fluctuates. This is where it fluctuates from being up high to Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, iman will reach a point where it goes all the way to the seventh heaven. Your iman may become so strong that is that's how high it is, and it will become so low that it reaches the bottom of the ground. So there's both sides. وقوله anywhere. وقوله إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم أي شديد الرحمة بهم عظيمها. Allah is kind and merciful to His creation, meaning He's extreme in mercy to His creation. فمن رأفته ورحمته بهم أن يتم عليهم نعمته التي ابتدأهم بها. Part of Allah's mercy and kindness is that He fulfills or completes that blessing that He bestowed upon them, which is Islam to begin with. وَأَنْ مَيَّزَ عَنْهُمْ مَنْ دَخَلَ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِلِسَانِهِ دُونَ قَلْبِهِ. And from the mercy of Allah is that He made a distinction and He made it clear the true believers from those who only claim to be believers in their tongue. What was the benefit of this particular revelation, Ya Akhwan? Is the fact that there were hypocrites during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Those who claimed to be Muslims, it was their statements only, not the conviction of the heart. When this revelation came, they were exposed. They were exposed. They started complaining, criticizing. So it became clear to the believers that these people are not really believers. These are the hypocrites. A. وَأَنْ امْتَحَنَهُمْ امْتِحَانًا زَادَ بِهِ إِيمَانُهُمْ. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested them in such a way where their iman increased for the believers. وَرْتَفَعَتْ بِهِ دَرَجَتُهُمْ. And they were raised a degree or a level with Allah. وَأَنْ وَجَّهُمْ إِلَى أَشْرَفِ الْبُيُوتِ وَأَجَلِّهَا. And Allah has commanded them to turn their faces towards the most honorable of homes and the most virtuous, which is the Al-Ka'ba Al-Mukarrama. طيب. No. طيب, with this we will conclude this verse inshallah. We'll be dealing with verse 144 next week by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد. سبحانك اللهم بحمدك, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت, نستغفرك وأتوب إليك.